What's up? Welcome to the Daily Dev. This is Ryan. I'm going to be hosting this podcast. And I'm just going to try to do it like twice or three times a week. And format will be either I'll be interviewing somebody that I know in the tech field, or I'll be choosing one or two topics in the field and just trying to go over it and how I view that topic. And yeah, so I'll probably be picking stuff out of like the news or stuff I see on Instagram or just stuff that I'm aware of. And so just to give a little background, my name is Ryan Brewer and I'm a 17-year-old and I'm a Python developer. And so first, I'm just going to go into the story of how I started to program. So I was in 7th grade and me and my friend always play video games together, and we played this game called Madden. And for those of you who don't know what Madden is, it's basically like, it's just a football game, American football, and each player has a card. And these cards have different values associated to them, and you could sell them on a marketplace for coins. So me and my friend went on and bought 10 Android phones, cheap $15 Android phones, and we programmed them to automatically, it was called sniping people, and we just went on, we programmed them to go and search for these super high valued players at very cheap prices, and then we'd buy them, and then we'd sell them on the marketplace, and then we'd sell them for real money. We'd sell our coins that we made for real money. And that's just really how I got started. It was just for fun. Me and my friends probably made like $500 in like a year. But it was just a really fun way of like just getting into the world of programming. I didn't even know I was interested in it. And then, so that was in 7th grade. And then, so now I'm in 8th grade. And I see the Hour of Code thing in the in my school's library. And for those of you who don't know what the Hour of Code is, it's basically, it's a challenge that went out to all of America, and it challenged every student to do 1 hour of code. And so you go on and you just block, it was basically just block code, and you just go and you block pieces together, trying to get people to move around, trying to get like your little avatar to go different places and solve different puzzles using block code. And that was awesome. That was a really cool thing for me to get started on. And then just from there, like, they had an hour of code was a challenge, and then beyond that they had another 20 hours of code, and I did that all in 1 week when I was on vacation. And this is all through code.org, which is an amazing resource. And so yeah, that's where I started off. And fast forward into high school, I started 9th grade, and I wasn't into like programming languages yet. I was still just messing around in Scratch or in block code on code.org. I wasn't into like full-fledged programming. But I took a class called AP Computer Science in 9th grade, which is basically just a course that, like, it's just basically a course, and it teaches you object-oriented programming through Java. And the course was amazing. The teacher was amazing. And I didn't understand anything at first. I understood zero. The first 3 months, I was completely lost. And I had no idea what was going on. I was going to drop the class. But I liked the challenge of trying to solve these problems, so I kept at it. And by the end of the class, I was competent. I wasn't that great, but I liked it so much that I went home and I would work on Java. I would do Java in my lunch breaks. I would do Java when I wasn't working in class, because it was just so fun for me. And just by doing that, my skills just got better, because in order to actually go far in programming, you can't just do it for the money. You have to really like to do it, and that's what I've seen from my experience. And right now, I consider myself a Python developer. But I'm still learning Python. I'm learning JavaScript, and I'm just trying to get my skills better. And what I really wanted to talk about was the whole culture of how programming can lead to this massive amount of money. And it can. It really can. But you have to really love it, because when you love it, you'll go home after you finish your day of programming. You'll go home and you'll do more programming. And so that just sets you right there. That just sets you apart from all the other programmers already, because they're going home and they're playing video games while you're going home and you're coding more. And if you're going home and you're coding more, it's just like, it just puts you so much more ahead. And so if you don't love it, you're never going to be as good as the people that love it. So you might as well just go and do what you're passionate about. And yeah. So like, the whole field of programming right now, I feel like there's a lot of people in it for the money. And there's also a lot of really, really skilled developers that are really pushing the bleeding edge of programming. And yeah, and I'll go into like how I went about learning Python, or trying to learn Python, and attempting learning JavaScript now. So a lot of people DM me asking me how to learn Python, and right here, I'll give you the three steps that I took to learn Python. So, first off, I learned Bash. And now you might be thinking, oh, Bash has nothing to do with Python. But in order to get your file structures right, to be able to run your Python scripts, to be able to go in and edit them from the terminal, to be able to move things from the terminal, to be able to download files from the terminal, and download modules that you need for Python development, you have to learn Bash first. So first thing you should do is go to Code Academy and do the, I think they call it the Bash, it's a Bash tutorial, a Bash course, but it also might be called a terminal course, and it could be called Shell. So I'm not sure on that, I'll have to check that, but I'll link that. And then the second thing that you should do is to read Learn Python 3 the Hard Way, and go through the whole book, annotate the whole book, and code the entire book, and get every single one of them working. And then by getting all of those things to work, you'll just have a bunch of different programs that run, and that you've made, and that you've let them work. And then the third thing that you have to do is you should just try to use the skills that you've gained by those two things, and just compile them into a portfolio of projects. And that's what I did. So I have my GitHub, and every time I would do a project, I would just put it, and I'd push it to my GitHub. And that really helped me when I started to try and connect with people, and eventually getting jobs, when I could just link my portfolio, and my GitHub was right there, and I had all my projects. I had nice descriptions. I had a good biography of myself and my profile, and that's really helped me so far in my short-lived programming career. And so that's just what I've done so far to go into programming. Now I want to talk a little bit about, we'll get into like the tech news-ish section of this episode. So I'm really interested in the field of AI and what I think that that's going to do for the future of this world, the economy, and all of that, and healthcare especially. And like, I took a course called the Deep Learning Nano Degree, which deep learning, so I'll explain this further. So machine learning is the outer shell, and then deep learning is a subset of machine learning. And deep learning uses neural networks, which are also called layered perceptrons, that go from, how should I phrase this? So you could have a bunch of nodes. So I'll have a node here, a node here, a node here, and they all connect, and then give you an output node over here. And this is the output. So I could have 0, 0, 0, and then they all go, and then this is 0. That's probably a really bad explanation, but you can look up what is a neural network on YouTube and get a much better explanation than that. So I took that deep learning nano degree. And it's just so interesting. Like, the things that these programmers are able to do with this technology is insane. So the first thing that I did was we went through and we used a library called NumPy, which is basically the math module for Python, and it allows you to do a bunch of cool things with arrays and multi-dimensional arrays, which you need for deep learning. So I did that, and that was really, really cool. And then the next thing was called convolutional neural networks, and then we did generative adversarial networks, and then we did recurrent neural networks, and then in recurrent neural networks we did long short term memories, and yeah, and then we deployed one on AWS, which was really, really cool. And yeah, so I can go into, like, so a convolutional neural network, it's mainly used when you want to classify a picture. So if I have a picture of a cat and I run it through a convolutional neural network that classifies images as a cat or dog, I train my convolutional neural network on thousands of images of cats and dogs. And the process of training one of these neural networks is basically gather a bunch of data, like an insane amount of data, and then you put that into a file structure that you make, and then you have to train the network on it. So you build a network of these nodes, you layer these nodes, and then you train it. And this can take anywhere from, I've had ones trained in a minute, or it could be, I know that like the for example, like AlexNet or ResNet 50 trained in like weeks, because they had so many more cells than mine did. And it's just really cool because these are being used now. Like, I don't know if anyone's seen like deep fakes. Like, this is all has like a convolutional aspect to it. And the reason it's called convolutional is because you have the picture, and then this little convolution goes across every pixel or every like window. You set a certain window and it goes across the entire picture, across the whole picture, and then it does computations based on the matrix that it has, and then passes it on to the next one, and then it does that again. It does it again until you have one pixel left. And if that pixel is white, it's a cat, and if it's black, it's a dog, which is so cool. So it's based off of what edges it sees. It's based off of the height and width of the object that it detects. It's based off of the shades and the colors, based off of the shapes that it sees. And it's just so cool because it's helping. This is the main concern, is it's helping in healthcare. So I actually made a pneumonia detection app where you take a picture, you take your lung x-ray or your chest x-ray, and you can actually see if you have pneumonia based on the fluid in the lungs. And that is super cool because that can already detect that chest x-ray better than doctors. And And I know that Sebastian Thrun, CEO and founder of Udacity, worked with people from Stanford, correct me if I'm wrong on that, on a melanoma detection app, which allows him to take, it allows the user to take a picture of, I think it's like a cyst or a bump on their arms, and it allows you to just, it allows you to classify that as melanoma or not melanoma, which is very cool, and it should help, and it should help people to classify whether or not they have melanoma. Like, it's just crazy. That app is correct. I think it was 73% of the time, and doctors are correct 68%. So it's already so much better than doctors, which is just like, just insane. And it does it instantly too. Whereas if you were going to a doctor, you'd have to have a whole diagnosis process, and it would take a very long time to figure out potentially what was wrong with you. So that convolutional neural network is just, it's amazing. And I feel like that's the type of network that's going to be, it's going to make a big difference. And then we have the recurrent neural networks, which is basically dealing with time series data. So you take like, you take a time dependent data source, like I did one that was predicting, if you want to predict anything based on time, a recurrent neural network will be the one for you. So take something based on time. So if I have like, if you have like sales over time, if you have like something used over time, then a recurrent neural network will allow you to make time dependent decisions based on that data, which is awesome. And then the coolest one is the generative adversarial network. Generative adversarial network takes in data. Like, you could take in cats and then will spit out a picture of a cat that's not real, but it looks like a real cat. Or it'll take a picture of a human and it'll make a fake human face, which is crazy. Just think about that. It's not a real human, but it looks like one. And that's where I think that the danger of AI comes in, is that people can be faked. Identities can be faked. It's insane. So I think people have to worry a little bit more about the ethics of AI instead of just trying to push the bleeding edge so far. That's just my opinion. So yeah. I think the most important thing is to just follow what you like to do. Whether that be programming, whether it includes AI, whether you like front end, whether you like back end, no matter what language, whatever you like to do, I would suggest that you do that. Because if you're going into back end because there's more money in it, or you're going into front end because there's more money in it, you're never going to be good at it. So yeah, thanks for tuning in, and see you next time.